Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey guys, so before we get into the episode, this episode was actually recorded a few weeks back, and I just wanted to mention that Judy and her team are actually hosting a virtual 5K race. It's a $20 entry fee that goes directly to the Black Women in Sport Foundation, and the race is Saturday, July 11th, and you can register now at runforjustice5k.com. That's runforjustice5k.com, so go check that out. Today's episode, we're talking to Judy Pendergast, who was my former teammate at University of Oregon, obviously. I'm sure you guys know who she is. Most people do. But let's get right into the episode. All right, guys, welcome back to Combos Over Cold Brew. I'm Ava Hampton, and we are here with my sweet, sweet friend, Jay Piz. Wow. That is my favorite nickname for her. Do you want to introduce yourself to the podcast?
Wow. Hello, podcast. My name's Judy Pendergast, you know, Jay Piz, and I run for Harvard currently, but I was teammates at Oregon with Emma, for a hot sec and
a quick minute yeah. or two.
And that's about it. That's me.
Yeah, so of course I had to bring Judy on the podcast. You know, Judy's probably my number one requested person to have her presence on any of my social media platforms. And Judy, I'm not kidding. Every time I go live on my Instagram, someone asks, how is JPiz doing? Give us the updates on Judy. So, you know, that's why I knew I had to bring you on for one of my first episodes, because people need the updates for you. So,
wow.
So Judy and I met I was going into my senior year of college, and Judy was transferring, actually.
Yeah.
And Judy, I remember my first memory of you. I'll explain it right now. So Judy, like, our coach had told us, that we had a recruit coming, and it was only my teammate Allie Cash and I were there in Eugene over the summer. So we were like, okay, of course we're going to take this cool recruit Judy out to sushi. So, and we went on a run too.
Yes.
And for some reason, Allie Cash and I were trolling Judy before she even got on the team. We're like, okay, let's just mess with her a little bit. We're going to call her JPiz. Literally made no sense. I don't know why we started calling you that, but that's the first thing we said. We picked you up from your hotel and we're like, JPiz. And then from then on, I just knew that we were going to be good friends. So yes. Do you have any memories from like that first trip? To the good old Huge, meeting your former teammates?
Yeah, no, I remember just being a bit nervous because I had already gone through the recruiting process, and it was kind of different going through as like a transfer. So I ended up like landing in Eugene, and then all of a sudden Emma and Allie are out here like already having nicknames for me. I was like, kind of confused what was going on, but also kind of there for it. And it definitely was like one of the reasons that I ended up actually choosing to go, because I was like, wow, the people on the team are so nice and they already have a nickname for me. Like, how can I not go?
We already knew that you were going to be a part of the team before you showed up. We had never spoken, but we're like, this girl belongs here.
Yeah. And then we like ran and went out for sushi and I was like, yes, this is good. This is where I'll end up. So yeah, it's definitely. And it also was funny because I don't know, I feel like both you and Allie ended up being like two of my closest friends. So
yeah, so I feel like it worked out. It was probably a good idea that we all went and like were part of your recruiting visit.
Yes.
I feel like we were a good match, you know, friendship-wise. Yes.
It's a very good match. Great host.
Yes. So let's take it back a little bit. I actually just spoke with your high school team on a Zoom call the other day, and I know you did the same. Do you want to talk a little bit about your high school career? I mean, it was pretty legendary. Ooh. And I know a lot of people, especially out there in Illinois, know who you are. So do you want to talk a little bit about your high school career and like where you started, even before high school?
Yeah. So yeah, I talked to my team, like former high school team about this like a few weeks ago, but I started running in high school. Well, I guess I ran a bit in junior high, but it was like not very seriously. I was like playing club soccer most of my life and mostly just training, for cross country and track in order to stay in shape for soccer. And then my freshman year of high school decided that I wanted to do this whole running thing. And then I guess I just kept at it. Eventually, I think like the consistency kind of paid off. Like my junior and senior year, my team was always like pretty good. So we were at NXN like all 4 years in high school that I was there. But yeah, I think I definitely kind of peaked my senior year of high school. I had like the state record in cross country and was like eighth at NXN, I think, and fourth at Foot Locker. So that was like kind of like,
oh my gosh, not trying to flex. That's really good. I can't even imagine.
Yeah, so humble. yeah, but those were like the big accomplishments of my high school career, I guess. But I guess like I was always a part of a pretty good team. So we were pretty consistently like at NXN and stuff, which was always fun.
Yeah, that's always a good time.
Yeah.
Having a good team definitely helps, even just like the overall environment, and helps you enjoy it a little bit more. I couldn't even imagine like being on a team with no one. It would just be such a different experience. Like, I really give credit to those people who can succeed like as individuals, just because I could not imagine.
No, I know. Yeah, I was like always thankful that my team was relatively good on the national level, so that was always like a big relief.
Yeah. And then like, when did you start getting good? Were you good from the start, like the first step you took out of the womb? Were you good at running, or did it just I mean, you said consistency pays off, but was there like natural talent there at the beginning?
I think, I don't know, I always like grew up playing soccer, and like I was always like one of the midfielders, so just did like a lot of running and I think like endurance kind of sports. But like, my parents will always joke that I like don't have running genes in my family, so like they don't really know where like why I started running or like why I was good at it.
So I can relate to that as well. So no one knows where it comes from.
Exactly. So all of a sudden, I guess, you know, if you just try it, then maybe you're good at it. So I think that's what ended up happening. And like, I think started to click like my junior and senior year. Like, I was decent in high school, I think freshman and sophomore year. Like, I think I was like relatively like on the state level, like a good runner, but not like really that good nationally or like at NXR or any like regional level. So I think like things kind of clicked like junior and senior year when like I started running faster times and all of that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then did you always know that you wanted to run in college, or was it just kind of like the opportunity presented itself, so then you just took it? Or was it something that you like you saw yourself doing from freshman year?
Yeah, I guess like I always thought I would play soccer like throughout junior high, and maybe like the start of high school was pretty set on like doing soccer in college. and then decided to continue with running. And I think I started seriously considering like running in college, probably like my junior and senior year. like, I think that's when I was like, oh, I think I'd like to keep doing this in college and like be a part of a team and like a part of like an extracurricular in college that was like running.
Yeah. That was running.
Yeah, that was yeah. So I think it all started to like come together like the end of high school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's, I mean, right when it should be, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Ideal situation. Yeah. is running in college like everything that you expected it to be? What are some things that maybe you didn't expect going in that are happening now? And what are some things that did come true?
Oh, yeah. I guess, like, my expectations of what would have happened in college are, like, very different from what actually ended up happening. Like, I mean, I transferred twice, if that tells you anything, which is fine. Like, I think I ended up, like, learning and, like, a lot of things and, like, being in the places I needed to be at the time.
Definitely.
In order to learn those things. But, yeah, it's, like, definitely different. I think I went in, like, having really high expectations for, like, where I would end up running-wise and just, like, kind of falling short of those the past few years. I learned a lot about, like, myself, not only as, like, a runner, but a person and things that, like, matter to me. And I think I've just gained a lot of confidence from, like, being myself and doing what's best for me, given all the changes. I think, like, if you asked me going into college, like, what I would have wanted, I would have said, like, oh, I want to, like, win an NCAA title, and I, like, want to, like, break school records. And then I ended up, like, transferring twice and, you know, like, being coached by, like, three different people all in college.
Yeah.
So I think, like, things just ended up not being ideal for those circumstances. But, like, I've learned a lot about, like, what it means for me to be, like, successful and, like, what makes me happy and how I can, like, improve in running, like, long-term and not just, like, in the couple years in college. So, yeah. I think, like, college running is just, it's, like, such, like, it's just so different for every single person. And I think a lot of people experience success where others, like, just don't get that same success. And it's all kind of about, like, trying to, like, find peace with it.
Definitely. Like,
both ways, yeah.
Yeah, I think people just learn a lot of things about themselves. And it doesn't even have to do with, like, the running itself. It's just kind of, like, the overall team environment and, like, I don't know, time management skills. Like, you just learn a lot of stuff in college that doesn't even have to do with racing,
yeah.
I think, in my opinion.
No, yeah, like, you learn a lot about, like, you as a person. Like, I would say, like, I'm still a very similar runner to who I was in high school. Like, but I, like, the amount of, like, confidence I've had in myself as a person has, like, shifted so much over the years. And it's not even, like, directly with running. It's just, like, it's just, like, me as a human. Like, I'm just, I've been in, like, so many different places that I'm, like, okay, like, this is, I'm just, like, so different. Like, I feel like I've lived three different lives in college.
Dude, I feel like every year in college I was a different person.
Yeah.
I don't even know if that makes any sense, but I feel like even the people that live with me, like, I feel like there's just such a different side of me that came out every single year. And then, I don't know, I feel like it's definitely all about, like, finding yourself too, which sounds so dumb. But it's like you're learning how to become an adult.
Yeah.
So it's a weird environment to be thrown into. And, I mean, it can be stressful, but I feel like coming out the other side, like, it's definitely rewarding in the later years.
Yeah. No, it's, like, it's just crazy. Like, I feel like you're supposed to change that much in college, but no one really tells you that. They're not, like, you will be a different person. Like, but you just kind of have to, like, accept that things are going to happen in college and, like, you have this, like, newfound freedom to basically do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And, like, and then also everyone in college and running is so good. So it's just, like, there's so many different factors, I don't know, that, like, you just learn so much about yourself and, like, what you, like, need as a person.
I know. And I feel like that change, I mean, freshman year is just such a big change.
Yeah.
And yes, like, I feel like people try to prepare you and be like, oh my gosh, like, don't put too much pressure on yourself freshman year. But I don't think you could really be prepared for what is in store for freshman year. Not to, like, scare people. It's just,
it's
just such a big difference. Like, living on your own. I don't know, just, like, kind of fending for yourself. And like you said, like, everyone is so good. If you're running, like, it depends on the level that you're running at too. But most people are so, so good. So usually you're just not – I feel like it's just a lot different than your expectations.
Yeah. I think, like, it really is just like so different from what I expected. And like, it's not scary. It's just like this huge transition. And I was like, when I talked to my high school team like a few weeks ago, I was like, it just is a transition. You kind of have to like accept it and like just give yourself a little bit of like leniency and like a little bit of grace just to be like, okay, yeah, things are just like not going to be perfect and it's fine. And like, if things are going like really well, then like take that as they come. But like, if things aren't going well, that's so normal. Like, yeah. And especially like with the whole running in college, like you just go from probably being like the fastest person like in your area or on your team or like in your state to even like on the national level, like being like one of the top like running, like runners, high school girl runners on the national level. And then you get to college and like you could be in the middle of the pack, literally giving life, running PRs, and like you just are nowhere near the front, which is fine.
100th place.
Yeah. And you just have to like accept that, like, okay, I'm like a wee little freshman. So it's okay that like I am not at the front. Like, because you have 4 years to do whatever you want. And like nothing is going to be perfect, obviously. And so I think like if I were to go back and like tell my freshman year self, I'd be like, just chill. Like, just don't worry. Like, things are going to be fine. But you can't like expect yourself to like be the same like high school person that you were, even though it was like only probably like 6 months ago. Like,
but life is just so different.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like a big change, like very quickly. So,
Do you think you adjusted well freshman year?
I don't know. I think like somewhat, like it definitely for a while I was like so focused on the external results in running. Like I just was not like near the front really, especially in cross country where it's like this mob of girls who are all.
It's like 250 girls that are all just as good as you.
Yes. Everyone's so incredibly fit. And you're almost like, how is this possible? Because in high school, like you are.
Where did all these people come from?
Yeah. You're like, oh, like I'm in high school, like I'm good, I'm at the front, like, and there's probably only like 20 other girls who can keep up with you, right? Yeah. And then you get to college and you're like at a race and you're like, wow, everyone in this race could probably beat me. Which is fine. You just have to like learn how to like navigate that and be competitive in like a different way. So I think that's something like I struggled with. Like I remember like just absolutely bombing at big races, like cross country nationals my freshman year and like Wisco my freshman year, like getting like in the like nearly last because I was so used to being up front in like big races that like when I was like caught in like 70th place I thought I was doing terribly. So I think like that whole like racing adjustment, it came around in like track when I started seeing like feedback of times that were like very much like indicative of like my fitness. But like in cross country, it was such a hard transition because it's like all place oriented and everyone's really good. So,
and it's like stressful in the moment when you're just in 70th place and you're like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing right now.
Exactly. Cause like 70th place is so good, especially if you're talking at like nationals. Like,
oh my gosh, 70th place is amazing at NCAA.
It's actually incredible. But like if you're a freshman, you don't really get that perspective until like later on. Whereas now I'd be like, I'd kill to be 70th.
And, oh
like,
my gosh. I would be so happy with 70th. Yeah.
And freshman year I probably would be like 70th, are you kidding me? But like it's just that like transition of like learning that everyone is good and you are also good. Like it doesn't mean that you're not good, it just means like you need to learn how to be a bit more like competitive in a different way.
Definitely
I think like running just took some time to adjust. But
I remember the coach at Oregon, when we won in 2016, she was like, there's nothing glamorous about fighting for 60th place. No. And there really isn't. But that's like how we ended up winning, is the people that were running 60th and 59th. Like those are the people that really helped us secure like the title. But it's just not glamorous at all in the middle of a pack. But
Especially like watching really that. Like I feel like
watching that too, it's like
you're like, that doesn't, like, these girls, like, they're 60th, like, they're not even, like, at the top, like, All-American, right? Well, I say that, and I'm like, I'm like, oh, 60th is so good. But, like, that's what probably people on the outside are thinking.
Yeah, people on the outside just have no idea.
Yeah, and then, like, but that person, like, you know, if you outkick someone, like, and then you win a national title that way, like, that's, like, it's just, on the outside, it looks so terrible.
I know.
Yeah.
That's just how college works, I guess. Yeah.
I guess this is how it works now.
Yeah. So now you're back at Harvard. You went from Harvard to Oregon to Harvard.
Yeah.
How are you doing back at the old school? What's changed? What's new?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Loaded question. No, I'm very much like at peace with like all of my decisions. I think for a while I felt so silly, like transferring in the first place and then so silly transferring back. Like I think I was like, what am I doing with my life? Like, this is so ridiculous. But then I like look back and I'm like, okay, yeah, on the outside, like people probably don't know the full story of like,
well, exactly. Everything. And it's hard when you're doing it in front of like people, or you know, people are like watching and are going to find out. But it's like, at the end of the day, you're living your best life. You're choosing what's right for you.
Exactly. Like, and it's like, I can't explain to everyone like what my thought processes were like in terms of like transferring like both times. Like, yeah. I know like everything that went into it, but it's just like no one fully understands it. So I think like for a really long time, I felt so silly, like being like, oh yeah, I transferred back. Like, especially to people at Harvard, they were like, what? I like mostly just told people I took a gap year. And they were
probably, yeah, that's a good explanation. They were always, no, more
like,
needed.
Yeah, they were always like, to where? I was like, Oregon.
Don't ask.
They were like, oh, and I was like, yeah, then no, don't worry about it. It's fine.
It's okay. When I told people I was leaving Vanderbilt, people were just so confused.
Yeah. But it's like, ultimately, you're just like making the decisions that it's best for yourself. But yeah, like I think now I'm like so much like at peace with the decisions I've made and like who I've become as a result of them. Like, I think like for a really long time, I was so focused on like running and the external results, like that I like couldn't like succeed in running because I was so focused. And now like I've just really enjoyed like being back on like the Harvard team. Like, I love my teammates. I mean, I love my Oregon teammates as well, but like there's just like something about like our team here where I'm just like, okay, I think everyone has like a common goal and we're all really supportive, and I like really enjoy my current coach. And I think like running for me, like I know what I am capable of doing and like what I would like to do, and it's all just about like being consistent and like enjoying the process as well.
100%. I feel like that goes a lot into it, is enjoying the process. If you're not enjoying it, you're gonna have a really hard time succeeding.
Exactly. Like, I think like this past fall I got injured, and like I was so much happier like racing and running than when I was like even probably fitter when I was at Oregon. But I was so unhappy at Oregon and like so like struggling with like the running and the external results and like what people thought of like my running, that like I like couldn't run that fast. Whereas like I'm so happy at Harvard, and like even when I'm injured and probably not as fit as I want to be, like I'm like giving life like at regionals so that we make it to nationals. Like, it was just like such a like, I don't know, full circle moment for me when I like came back to Harvard and was able to compete in the fall and like be on the cross team and see us go to like NCAAs. Like, that was just like huge. And I think I'm like feeling a lot better about like where I'm at, and confidence wise as well, like just feeling like very good and like, okay, who cares what people think? Like, I'm just gonna try and my best to run as fast as I can. Yeah.
So. Once you like give up the idea that people actually like care, or that you care about what other people think, man, your life begins. I swear.
Yeah. No, actually, like I just have to like, people, first of all, people don't care. Like, I think people are so focused on themselves. Like, people really don't care about your running. Not that I don't care about like my teammates running and stuff, but like people on the outside that don't know you, like they really probably could care less.
They'll read a Twitter post, they'll be like, whoa, or something, and then they'll move on with their day. Like, no one is dwelling on the fact that you ran 22 minutes in this 6K. Like,
no, like no one cares. They're probably dwelling on the fact that they like ran 22 minutes. Like, it's just not like, it's just not that big of a deal. Like, and I think like the second that I started being like, who cares what people think of my times? And like, it still is something that I'm like still dealing with. I think like that doesn't go away.
But no, like, definitely not.
I find like I'm most successful when I'm like, okay, just let me throw out all expectations. Like, whatever I think anyone thinks of me, like, I'm just gonna rip it and do whatever and like hope for the best, you know?
Dude, so I swear those are the best races. Yeah. No, I don't know what it is. Like, why? Why is it like that? I remember my best race was when I got my wisdom teeth out the week
before. Oh, yeah.
And I, like, didn't even race, or it didn't even work out. And then I was like, hey, time to go race the Stanford invite in this fast heat. And then I ended up doing really well because I don't think I put any pressure on myself at all. And I was like, exactly. I'm going to defend it. And somehow it worked out.
Yeah. No, like, that's, like, how it always works. Like, I, like, my two races in the fall, I literally had elliptical the month prior. Like,
yeah, was, dude, your cross country was so impressive. I will admit.
Yeah, it was crazy. I don't really know, like, how it ended up happening. Like, I was, like, first of all, going into the season, I was not that fit. Like, my summer training was just, like, kind of not great. And then, like, I ended up getting injured, and I was just like, oh, this is, like, so bad. Like, this is supposed to be my return onto, like, the NCAA. Not that anyone was really paying attention.
Okay, but your return, you know? Yeah, like, I was paying attention.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. At least, like I was out there and I was like, this is like my return. I'm so excited to, like, race again. And then, yeah, I ended up getting injured, like, maybe
hate to see it.
You really do. Like, I ended up getting injured, like, so early on in the season, maybe, like, it was, like, early, like, mid-September, like, September 15th. And, like, that was, like, the last, like, I hurt myself on a long run. And then I was out, like, for literally, like, a month and a half, and, like, started, like, running only workouts before, like, heps and regionals, and, like, was not really running that much mileage, was ellipticaling into my way into fitness. And then somehow
cross training works. So.
Yeah. No, it was like, I was like, I'm just gonna try and get fit on this elliptical. Yeah. And then, like, I don't know, I had no expectations for both, like, HEPs, like the Ivy League Championships and regionals. And those both ended up being, like, huge breakthrough races for me, where I was like, oh, like, if I really just don't think about, like, what I want to do, like, I actually end up running pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I remember being in the bus. We were on our way to regionals, and I was like clicking the lab results. I was refreshing so hard of regional are you guys in? The Northeast?
The Northeast, yeah. The road race.
Yeah, the road race. The road race, yeah. And everyone in their vapor flies or Lex presents. And yeah. I was refreshing the page every 2 seconds. This was like, did Judy make it? Did Judy make it? Did Judy make it? And then I saw that you guys won, right?
Yeah, no, it was like, I mean, we knew, like, what we were capable of if people, like, all performed. Because our, like, group of girls running was so close. Like, at Ivy League Championships, like, the split between our, like, 2 and 5 was like 1 second or something. Like,
are you serious?
Like, we basically ran in a pack the entire time. So, yeah. Like, in our front runner, like, Anna was, like, a bit ahead. Like, she also was injured. She also was just incredibly, incredibly fit from cross training. Like, we both
elliptical
were
vibes.
Yeah, we were both in the same boat. So, but she was just more fit than I was. And, like, I don't know, we got to regionals and we were like, oh, like, yeah, we're kind of capable of, like, making it. Like, we were like, maybe
kinda,
like, well, you're just like, we can, like, get to the top 2, you know, like, that was, like, probably, like, our reach goal, like, that's, like, oh, what we could do. And then we just were running and we were all next to each other and we were like, we actually feel good. And
gosh, that's the best feeling.
Yeah. And it was just, like, so cool. Like, I remember when our fifth runner crossed the line, it was, like, a couple seconds after, like, I had crossed the line, and I was like, yeah, I was like, I think we won, because, like, we were all just, like, ran so well. And, like, yeah,
that's, that, like, the best feeling is when you don't even know the result yet, but you knew that you did well.
Yeah,
I don't know, there's something about that. Or you see the last person cross, you're like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, probably how you guys felt at, like, NCAAs, like,
oh, 100%. I was the last person to cross and I was like, well, I didn't do bad, so
yeah,
exactly. That was in my exact thoughts, like, in the middle of the race. I was like, well, I'm not doing bad, so that must mean that we're doing well.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, like, it's such a nice feeling. You're like, oh wow, I love when things come together this way.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And when it counts too, it's always nice.
Yeah, yeah.
So. Okay. Well, let's move on a little bit away from running. You know, we love running, but we have so much other stuff in common.
Yes.
Other than running, how is your caffeine intake? Because I know you love coffee so much. And it was to a concerning point, almost.
Yeah, no, it's still concerning, honestly. Like, it's funny because I think, like, my caffeine consumption, I always tell myself that I'm going to limit it, right? Like, just stop after 2 p.m. Like, that's fine. Like, I'll be fine. And then at, like, I don't know, 5 p.m. rolls around and I'm like, wouldn't like a nice cup of coffee be like hit the spot right now? I'm like, give me that
hot coffee nonetheless. Not even a cold brew, a hot coffee nonetheless. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. But also cold brew. Cold brew is amazing. But yeah, I think like my caffeine consumption, I'm still just an avid coffee drinker. I think that it makes me feel good, and I know my limits, so I try not to exceed that. Some days are better than others. Like 2 days ago, I had one cup of coffee in the morning and none the rest of the day. But
you've got to be kidding me.
No.
Are you joking?
I'm not. But then the next day, of course, I go and chug like 10 cups of coffee in a matter of an hour. So it's all like a little bit give and take, you know, like it evens out. I would say like I try and control it, but coffee is just so tasty.
Okay. Have you like, when's the latest that you've had coffee?
Oh, God. Like latest ever, like I mean, there's definitely been some nights where I'm like, oh, I have to finish this paper right at like 11:30. It's, you know, it's due at midnight, and I'm like, okay, well, let me just chug a little bit of coffee for that extra little kick. But like, if I was just like, oh, I want a cup of coffee, and it was late, I would say probably latest is like 9:30. But
9:30,
maybe 10. I just because. I mean, well, okay, this is what they do in Europe, too. They, like, serve you coffee after
you're
dinner.
You're going European vibe.
Yes, yes.
I'm like, you were into that.
If the Europeans do it, it's okay.
Okay.
But, no, it's mostly, like, I feel, although my friend who is, you know, is going to be a doctor tells me differently, I feel as though it does not affect my sleep. but I don't know.
The doctor says so, but I know my body. So.
I know my body. Yeah. But that's like very rarely. I would say that's probably like once every few months. I'm like, oh, I'd like some coffee at night. But in that case, I do try and do decaf if I.
Okay. That's better. That's better. Yeah. I mean, that makes sense.
Yes. Yeah. No, but it's, I mean, coffee consumption is still up there. And we're still thriving, so we're just gonna take it.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like you're doing well.
Yeah.
Have you ever had to pull an all-nighter at Harvard?
No. I feel like at that point, like, there's no amount of homework that, like, is going to, like, make me, like, not want to go to sleep. Like,
yeah.
I would honestly rather just take, like, maybe, like, a little bit of a deduction in quality or something so that I can, like,
I feel that.
Sleep. Like, it's just not worth it. It's not worth my time. And I really, like, I usually finish my work, like, on time. So, or, like, I usually don't have to stay up insanely late to get it done. So I feel like there's never been a day where I'm like, oh, I have to pull an all-nighter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Are the academics as hard as people make it out to be?
So it also depends on like your, well, see, Harvard is special, so it's not your major, it's your
Harvard is special.
No, they like, well, not okay, Harvard goes, it's not your major, it's your concentration. That's so,
oh, I was about to say,
it depends on your concentration. Like for me as a psych major, I feel pretty comfortable with all the material. It's not easy because it's like a lot of writing and like a lot of research and like still like some math involved in it. And I work in a lab, which is like not easy as well. But like I would say like some concentrations have it like much harder. Like if you're trying to be like an engineer, I think it's very hard to be like an athlete and an engineer. Although I've known some people that have done it, but it's like any other college, I feel as though like some concentrations are harder than others.
Yeah,
it's not, it's really not that bad. Like the resources that they give you are like so good, and like I've always felt really comfortable with the work. So
well, that's good, because I mean, it just has such a scary name that like I feel like it's really intimidating, you know.
Yeah, I think honestly, like someone told me once, like the hardest part is getting in, which
that's
like
that's what I hear all the time.
Yeah,
is that true?
I don't know. It really like, again, it depends. Like I think like it is what you make of it. Like if you're gonna try and like double major with like, I don't know, like computer science and engineering, which I don't even know if that's possible, but like if you if you try and make it difficult, like it will be probably insanely difficult for you. But like I think for a lot of people the hardest part is getting in, because like the resources that they have are so good that you can like get support in some places. But again, it's Harvard, like it's like any other college, like there's are like really hard classes and like really hard like times, like final season does really suck. So
yeah.
Yeah.
So do you know what you want to do after?
I mean,
I'm sure people have made that question. Like, worst question ever.
Yeah. It's funny because I like by now, like if I was on a regular track, I would have been like graduated this year. So I feel like I should know by now.
You're a normal person.
Yeah. If I had not transferred twice. but
bump in the road.
Yeah, no, it's fine. I'll take the extra year. But I feel like I should know by now, but I go back and forth a lot. Like I did.
You don't need to know.
Yeah. Like I've done a couple different kinds of internships. Like I'm considering grad school to do like clinical psych and potentially be like a psychologist or a therapist or something, but we'll see. I don't know. It's all up in the air.
Yeah. Especially right now. Who knows?
I know. Yeah. Life is crazy.
Well, at least you have some sort of track. I feel like when I was that age, I was like, I don't know what I'm doing with my life.
But, yeah.
I mean, it's okay to be that way, you know?
Yeah, yeah. We take things as they come.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you do besides for running? Like, what are your hobbies? Is that a weird question to ask?
No. That's so weird. That's so weird of you, Emma. How dare you ask me about my hobbies? That's not a weird question. It's just funny because I'm like, oh, what do I do? I drink a lot of coffee. I don't know. Let's see. I watch a lot of Netflix and TV, obviously, to relax a bit. But
obviously, yeah.
A lot of reading. Oh, I'm really into puzzles lately. I love puzzles, which is, I don't know, I feel like that's like kind of an older person thing to do, but like just love to sip some coffee and do a puzzle. And then what else do I do? I like have been really into baking and cooking in the quarantine.
Oh, one crazed Judy vibe.
Yes. gross. no, yeah, I feel like, I mean, there's a lot of free time lately. So I've been doing that. I used to do a lot of art, but I feel like there's just like, yeah, there's just not a lot of inspiration.
Wait,
I'm like, yeah.
You started your YouTube channel again. What was the spark?
Oh my gosh. So I'm currently quarantined with like four of my friends. We've been quarantined since like we left Harvard. Like we all were, oh, like we'll spend spring break together and then like go on our separate ways. So we like went to our friend's house for spring break and then never left. So then I was
love
like
that.
Yeah, but it's like such a funny group of all of us that I'm like, oh, the personalities are too good not to capture on camera. Although I don't know.
Dude, that's what I felt like when I started my channel.
Yeah.
I was like, I have to capture this.
Yeah, it's like content, you know, that like the world needs to see.
Yeah, the audacity we have to think people
yeah.
care.
Yeah, I'm like, oh god, people like I'm really not this self-centered, I promise you. I just really
story of my life.
I just think it's funny and like kind of fun to like edit videos and like have all yeah. of that. But I don't know, I restarted it because I was mostly bored and like just wanted yep. something to do.
That's how it begins.
But then like I don't know, I mean I've only uploaded one video and then my computer deleted everything, so I'm like, oh my goodness, this is a sign from the world that I should not be doing YouTube again.
No, everyone in the comments of this is gonna be like, no, Judy, get back on YouTube.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna keep doing it. I think there's like good content I think that I have planned, like me and my boyfriend Charlie, we're gonna do a chocolate milk.
Oh,
mile.
Boyfriend.
No, it's mostly, well, we're doing a chocolate milk mile this week.
Are you serious? That's
yeah, fun. Yeah, but it's because he stopped training and I continued training.
Oh.
So he thinks that it will be like more of a fair race. So then I was like, oh yeah, this will be good content because I think it'll actually be, he was on the team. So other like if he was actually running, he would have probably crushed me, but I think it'll be pretty fair now.
I can't wait to watch. You're yeah. probably gonna throw up, I feel like.
Oh no, I definitely I don't have that strong of a stomach. Like I used to eat like meals like 3 hours ahead of time before runs and
yeah.
still feel so bad. So yeah, I feel like I'm just gonna have to accept the fact that I'm gonna yak, but
it's okay. It's all for the content, you know?
Yeah, it's what I do for my like my like two subscribers.
You gotta give the fans what they want.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. I think it will be fine. So yeah, I think there's just some, we're like all really bored, so we're trying to come up with things to do.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, should be fun.
So I was looking through old photos the other day, and I saw this – or no, I was looking through old videos. Ooh. And there was we were all at our coach's house, and you doused your plate with ketchup. And I remember you loved ketchup. Do you still love ketchup that much?
Okay, I love a lot of condiments. I really do love ketchup. I'm
what is this podcast turned into? I really do love ketchup. welcome to the MA Ramsey podcast.
You're gonna be like, this is not what I signed up for.
People expect nothing less. Let's be
no,
honest.
It's good. No, I think this is good content. People really should know all of my condiment preferences. I like ketchup. I really like barbecue sauce. Lately, I'm into hot sauce. So,
ew, what kind? What?
Ew, what is that? Ew, what kind? I don't know. The normal Cholula. Okay. I think.
I don't know. People have their preferences. I like my. I prefer none. So, but
I
me,
love.
Okay?
I love spicy. So.
Oh. Okay.
Spicy.
All right. Well, that's kind of all the questions I had for the pod. Wrapping up on that note. Well, I wanted to end this episode. Do you have a motto that you follow day to day? Is there a quote that you are inspired by that you just live day to day with?
Ooh.
Really putting you on the spot.
No regrets.
I mean, that could be one. It's something that you say to yourself. Do you have anything gets you out the door, gets you up?
Get it done.
Put it in the work.
I have so many things I could say right now. I will just choose not to say.
Okay.
No. No, I think if I'm being serious, there's two probably that I think of. One, my high school coach has told us for a really long time that to me has applied just because so much stuff has been out of my control, but it's the control what you can control. I try and just do what I can, and I try not to worry about everything that's out of my control, because otherwise I'd spend all day worrying about it. But the other one, I'm really into Morgan Harper Nichols. She does all those really poetic quotes, and she draws them. I don't know. She's has a million followers on Instagram or something.
Okay.
But her, one of hers is,
one of hers is, inspiring.
I'm gonna throw up. Okay. No, it's something how liberating it is to choose wholeness instead of perfection, or something like that. How free it is. I don't know. Along those lines of instead of trying to make everything perfect, just try and be yourself and do what you can and all of that snazzy stuff.
Yeah, no, that's a good one to live by.
Yeah, no, it was not.
Maybe you shouldn't just be a poet, but...
Yeah. I don't know what I blinked out on. I was just... I zoned out for a hot sec, and all of a sudden, I was quoting her saying,
Well, good thing you're live in front of tens of thousands. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. If this was live, I think I would yak.
All right. Well, yeah. I think that's going to end today's episode, but I really appreciate you coming on, chatting away with me about who knows what ketchup.
Yeah. My career in ketchup.
Your career in ketchup. That's going to be the title of this podcast. Ketchup. Career in ketchup. Judy Pendergast, career in ketchup.
Good.
It actually might be the title. where can all of these people follow you? Where are you updating your life?
Yeah. I would say, currently I'm posting a lot on Insta. So you can find me Judy Pendergast, all lowercase, on Insta. But I don't have a Twitter. I don't friend me on Facebook.
Please don't.
Please don't. And don't request me on LinkedIn or Strava, for that matter. Please leave me alone on Strava. But you can find me on YouTube. Judy Pendergast. I do have an old account on there as well, which has like my sixth grade English project on it. So
wow, you were just asking for people to go follow that.
I know. Well, the problem is I don't have access to that account anymore, so no. I can't delete
it. It's up there forever.
It's not gonna go anywhere. So but yeah. No, I do have a normal YouTube as well. Just my name, Judy Pendergast. I think that's all right. About it. Yeah.
All right, well, I'm going to go watch your sixth grade YouTube video now.
Please don't, yeah. peace out, fellas. Wow.
Thank you guys for listening to today's episode of Convos Over Cold Brew. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, it would be awesome if you guys rated and reviewed the podcast just so we can get it out there a little bit more if you guys like it. And I also have a Instagram now for this podcast. It's just at Convos Over Cold Brew. So make sure to go follow that for inspiration and updates on the podcast and from our guests. And thank you so much for your support so far. And I will hear from you guys in the next one.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.